and amen. Thank you so much, choir, leading us in a beautiful song, and worthy is the Lord this day, amen. And happy new year to you all. Good to see you today. And if you have your Bible, let's look at John chapter 7, beginning in verse 37. As Jesus extends to all of us in this world today, the great invitation. And I want to look at this passage of scripture today, but it means so much more if we understand the context in which it is set. And so, you know, we preach line by line through the books of the Bible so we understand the flow and understand where we've been and where the Lord has been in his ministry up until this point. And we know we're about 6 months away from the final part of this gospel where the Lord would willingly go to the cross. He's 6 months away from the cross. He has been going around inviting people to the kingdom of God, teaching people about who he is and the plan of God. He has been revealing the Father's will. He is now at this setting. If you remember last time we were together, he is in Jerusalem and he is there at the temple. And the setting for this particular occasion is one of the feast. Israel would have several feast that they would keep to commemorate the faithfulness of God. This particular feast, as we'll see, is the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. And look at verse 37. It says, "Now on the last day, that great day of the feast," Jesus had been there. He'd been watching the Jewish people commemorate and remember this particular Feast of Tabernacles. And tabernacles, as you can imagine, it's as it sounds, to tabernacle or to tent or to make booths, was a way that they would remember God's faithfulness to them in the 40 years of wilderness wandering. You remember when Moses led them out of bondage, out of Egypt, they crossed through the Red Sea on dry land, and then they are in the wilderness. And God allows them to hunger. God allows them to thirst that they might demonstrate their faith. It might prove the depth and the integrity of their faith. And as they would wander in the wilderness this 40 years, as they would wander, they would set up tabernacles or booths. So you can imagine 2 million people wandering through the desert. God was with them. They would set up these temporary dwelling places, tabernacle, and God would provide for them. He provided for them manna from heaven, and he provided water. And in Exodus 17, we read of an occasion where they complained, the people of God complained against Moses, and they complained against God. They didn't like it, and they wanted more water, and they complained that they were thirsty, and God provided for them a rock, and he instructed Moses, strike the rock, and water would come forth from the rock and provide for the people. Can you imagine this in a dry and barren wilderness? Moses walks up and strikes the rock, and enough water came out. It said, water in abundance came out for the people. Water came out for all the people. Can you imagine? Maybe 50 swimming pools filled. That's a lot of water to come out in a desert. And all that water gushed out in abundance for the people of God who were thirsty. And God remembered, though, that they complained against him. God remembered that. You can read the account in Exodus 17. Here we have them celebrating and remembering, though, the Feast of Tabernacles, when God miraculously and faithfully, consistently provided for his people. God does the same today, doesn't he? God is a God who is faithful. God provides for his people. And so they're commemorating and thinking back to how God was faithful to them in their wilderness wanderings. And how they would keep the feast. The priest would have these large golden vessels and he would go through the water gate. And so this is the setting that Jesus is in. They're now commemorating this particular feast. and remembering God's faithfulness. They take these golden vessels and they would go through the water gate and they would dip them in the pool of Siloam. They would take all this water and they would pour it out on the altar. All the water that God provided for them. Keep in mind, while all this is going on, there are tens of thousands of Jewish people there celebrating God's faithfulness. Jesus is there. Jesus is there. And they're singing from Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. As the water is being poured out, they would sing and they would state Isaiah 12, 3, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And they remembered that God provided a rock. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, says this about that rock. He says, "They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock that followed them was Christ." Do you have any idea what these tens of thousands of Jewish people, as they celebrate the faithfulness of God, as they're watching the water being lavished on the altar, and they're remembering the rock that provided for them? Paul says that rock was Christ, and guess who's right there, standing in the midst of them all? That rock. Jesus is right there as they're commemorating and keeping this feast, the last day of that great feast. As the water's being poured out, Jesus perhaps standing an inch deep in water right there at the altar, this most of holy places. And in that moment, Jesus stood and he cried out in a loud voice saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." What a setting for Jesus to extend this invitation. And to be clear, this is an invitation not only to satisfy your temporary thirst, but he's inviting them to salvation. Inviting them. Jesus had probably gone around every day of his ministry inviting people unto himself to believe. And we know that we are saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, by believing and putting our faith in him. In fact, verse 38 says, "He who believes in me," this is an offer of salvation. If we look back to what the Lord said at this great invitation, he really breaks out, what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to believe in him? Notice the last phrase of verse 37. He says, "If anyone." If. It's a huge word for two letters. If anyone. The invitation is a worldwide invitation. Regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of your age, your economic status, how bad you've been, how good you've been, everybody needs this saving faith. Everybody needs a Savior. And if anybody thirsts, and so here's the requirement. If you thirst. Now, I know driving down the road with my family in the car, and I ask, "Hey, does anybody want to pull over and get something to drink? Is anybody thirsty?" If the answer is, "No, I'm not thirsty," then you just keep on going. You're not interested in getting something to drink. But if you're thirsty, and you've been there before in your life, if you're thirsty, you are going to pursue that which is going to satisfy you. You are going to make an effort to get some water or something to drink. And so here's this invitation for everybody on the planet today. If anyone thirsts for the truth, for salvation, for a relationship with God, to be restored. Do you thirst for that? Now, there's a lot of substitutes in the world today. Religion and idols and all these things that try to take the place of a relationship with God. But I want to tell you that only the Lord satisfies. And he says, if anyone thirsts. How many people are thirsting in America today? It seems like not so many people thirst after God today. People are so interested in their money and in their sports, and they place all these idols above God. They care about power and possessions and popularity. But is there anybody out there that hungers and thirsts truly, longing after that relationship with Jesus Christ? So if anyone is in that place in your life, then Jesus is speaking to you today. Jesus has a word and a good news message for you. If you're thirsting after God and you're looking for truth, then God's word is for you. Then God is for you. If anyone thirsts, then here's what you do. And I want you to know there's good news, because God is available to you if you're thirsting for him. If anyone thirsts, Jesus says here, then let him come to me. Very important what he says. Let him come. Literally, if Jesus were here this morning, physically standing here, it would be as if he says, then if you thirst, come now to me, where you would literally, with your feet, you would walk to him. Come to him. And I know in my own life, I have done that I have come to Christ, thirsting after Christ. Come to me. And I want you to see what he's saying. He's not saying, come to an altar, come to a pastor, come to a priest, come to a pope. Not come to a religion, not come to a temple. There's so many things that we try to fill in the blank with. All he's saying is, if you're thirsty for truth and a relationship with God, then you come to Jesus Christ. There's no one else. There's nothing else. Not a man-made religion or a man-made ritual. And yet the world is confused. The crowd that we'll see here in just a little while, as they respond, we see they're confused. Maybe they're offended. Jesus said many were offended at his teaching. But the invitation is to come to Jesus Christ. Have you come to Jesus Christ? Are you thirsting for him? Come to Jesus Christ and to him alone. And then the invitation is complete. You see, there's a lot of people who will go to church. They're interested. They're curious. They want to hear the teachings about Jesus. But I want to tell you, curiosity about Jesus, learning about Jesus, being interested in and peeking around the corner to see what these people who follow Jesus are all about, sitting in church, doing some spiritual service, all those things may be good, but they are not saving you. Here he says, if you thirst, come to me and drink. That is to take him in. That is to receive him. It doesn't do you any good to say, well, I know all about Jesus. I've studied his teachings. I know what he has said. I've read the Bible 50 times. You can do all those things and be lost. And many in America are lost and now offended at this teaching that they have to thirst and come to Jesus and receive Jesus unto themselves. And if you have not done that, then you are lost and not saved. But the good news is, and this is his invitation, is that if anyone... Look at all of the anyones and somebody's in here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. What does it mean to believe in him? To thirst after him, to come to him, and to receive him. And if you have done that, according to God's word, you have responded to his invitation and you have been saved. Jesus is making this invitation to you. How have you responded? Now, Jesus says this about the one who has received him, who has believed in him. In verse 38, he who believes in me, as the word of God, the scripture has said,
that person who has believed out of his heart. Some of your translations say out of his belly. The word just implies the deepest recesses of a man, the deepest recesses of a human being, the inner part of who you are, the seat of the emotions, the seat of the will. Out of his heart will flow, flowing now within you, that Holy Spirit that abides in you. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Can you imagine that being said as they are pouring the water out onto the altar? All this water splashing all around, Jesus makes this great invitation, and he says, for the one who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What is he talking about? John, the apostle here, goes on to explain in verse 39. But this Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believe in him, whom those believing in Jesus would receive, that Holy Spirit. And that happened at Pentecost, after Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he appeared to many in many different places. He conquered sin at the cross. He conquered death when he rose again on the third day. And then at Pentecost, as God gathered many there, he poured out his Holy Spirit, a gift to the church, that everybody who believes in him receives the Holy Spirit. He dwells in the believer, the people of God. And this is what he's saying. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit at this point, still 7 months away, the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because at that point Jesus was not yet glorified, which he would be after the resurrection. Now, how does the crowd respond? Well, this was some 2,000 years ago, and nothing has really changed. Therefore, many from the crowd was there. How did they process this? Tens of thousands of people there in this most holy place, the temple in Jerusalem, during this great day, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Were they offended by Jesus? Yes, some of them were. Always is the case. Many from the crowd, when they heard Jesus saying this, they said, truly, this is the prophet, referring to the prophet of Moses in Deuteronomy 18, 15. This is the prophet, is he? Absolutely, that's who he is. Others said, this is the Christ, the Messiah. Is that who he is? Absolutely. He is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. They rightly identified who he was. The implication is that they believed in him. But on the other hand, some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? This was insulting. And so this is a confused group. Is Christ going to come out of Galilee? That's not who this guy is. But in fact, Jesus of Nazareth, being in Galilee, of course, they were confused. Verse 42, they go on and they continue in their confusion. Has not the scripture says that the Christ comes from the seed of David? Isn't that what the scripture says? Who's this guy? Once again, they're confused. Jesus is a descendant of King David, and he is from the town of Bethlehem. They were right in assuming that the Messiah came from Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But they didn't do their homework. They hadn't understood. Did you not know that Jesus was a descendant of David? And that he was, in fact, born in Bethlehem, where David was? And so we see in verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of Jesus. Nothing new, right? There's divisions in your family and with friends because of Jesus. And whose side shall you gather on? Always embrace the Lord. And do not be ashamed that you follow the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Now at that point, there were others that were there. It says, now some, verse 44, some of the crowd wanted to take him. The implication is there, violently, by harm, by force. And we have been reading how the religious leaders particularly wanted to kill him. They sought an opportunity to kill Jesus Christ. Man, what side are you on if you're trying to kill the Lord? Or if you disagree with what the Lord has said? Some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. And as it is said in many places, for his time had not yet come. Now, verse 45. The officers came to the chief priest and the Pharisees. These temple officers, they were reporting to, they came to the chief priests and the Pharisees. The chief priests and the Pharisees are the religious elite. You want to know some of the most religious people who know the law of God? Here they are, the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the scribes. And they said to the officers, "Why have you not brought him?" Apparently, that was their instruction. Go get him and bring him back to us. And they were some of the coldest, most bitter people you'd ever seen. And yet they were these religious leaders. And the officers answered. They had been out there. They had seen this entire event transpire. They had heard Jesus. And their response was, "No man ever spoke like this man." I guarantee you, no pope, no pastor, no priest has ever spoken like this man. Jesus, being God himself, spoke with authority. And they recognized that. You want us to take this man who's full of love, grace, mercy, truth, and bring him to you violently, and you are full of anger, bitterness, coldness, and the law. The Pharisees answered to these officers and said, "Are you also deceived? Are you deceived, thinking that he's a great man, a great teacher? You believing what he says? Are you also deceived?" And now, look at verse 48. Interesting indictment. As they continue speaking to the officers, they say, "Listen, why are you believing this man Jesus? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him?" Ouch. For they've indicted themselves, haven't they? I mean, you can imagine the thought behind, let me just paraphrase a little here. These religious leaders, and they're in all their religious paraphernalia. They're all dressed up, and they have all their rituals, and they're in their temple that they built with their own hands. And they're mad at these officers. Are you confused? Are you deceived? Hey, look at us. Look at us. Have any of us believed in this Jesus? Therein lies the problem. Through their own mouths, they confess that they have not believed in him. They have not thirsted after him. Do you know why they haven't thirsted after him? Because their thirst was satisfied with religion. I so loved a conversation I had with a lady who came on Christmas Eve, and she was overjoyed. Probably in her 60s, and she walks in through the front doors and she says, "I am so excited to be here just tonight with the people of God, just to celebrate Jesus, the Redeemer, coming in." And she was just beaming with joy and love and excitement to be in the presence of God with his people, to worship the Lord. And so many of you come in here that way, and you should. What a privilege it is to come together as the people of God to worship God. She came in with that great joy. She being in her 60s, coming from a Catholic background, my wife was raised Catholic. My wife went to Catholic school. She can identify with the conversation. And she's not dogging and putting anything else down. She just makes a comment. Her comment is this. She says, "I've discovered that there is a big difference between religion and Jesus Christ." And I've discovered that same thing too. Listen, if you're visiting with us today, we're not preaching the rituals and the traditions of men. We're just opening up the Word of God and reading it for ourselves.
and we're worshiping the God of the Bible. We're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, who invites everybody to come and drink freely. It is a free gift that God extends to sinful men and women to come unto himself and believe in him. And yet these religious leaders said, have any of us believed in him? Absolutely not. Because their thirst was satisfied with religion instead of truth in Jesus Christ. They said, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in this Jesus? But the crowd, really, you're going to trust this? The crowd that doesn't know him, they don't know, who doesn't know the law, is accursed. They're accursed. Now, one of the Pharisees that was there was Nicodemus. Nicodemus, we saw, had an encounter where he sought out an audience with Jesus Christ at night. You remember in John chapter 3, Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and he said to him, you must be born again. Can you imagine? One of the leaders of the religious leaders, and Jesus says you have to be born again. You've been born once physically, you've never been born again spiritually. Apparently, Nicodemus at some point, either that night or thereafter, has trusted in Jesus Christ. But here that night we see him thirsting. That thirst for truth is drawing him into the presence where he is seeking out an audience with Jesus. And Nicodemus says in verse 50, who came to Jesus by night, being one of the Pharisees, he speaks to the Pharisees there and he says, yeah, but does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he's doing? He's defending Jesus. He's trying to speak rationally to them, but they're not being rational. And the Pharisees answered and said to Nicodemus in an insulting tone, are you also from Galilee? And the implication there is Galilee is a junky place. Hey man, you don't want to be from Galilee. And so they're insulting him. Are you also from Galilee like this man? Search and look. For no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. Once again, they're wrong. Nahum, Jonah have come out of Galilee. And then everyone went to their own house. What a beautiful story. Everyone showing who they really are, aren't they? The Pharisees, the religious leaders, the crowd, all showing who they really are. And here we have Jesus, nonetheless, in this great setting at the temple in Jerusalem with water poured out all around, making this great offer that we are to in turn extend to all humanity. Listen, I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care the color of your skin, how much money you have or don't have. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. We see in this passage, our God is a God who loves. Our God is a God who invites. Our God is a God who saves. And that salvation is available to everyone who thirsts, but available, listen, only in the person of Jesus Christ to whoever would come. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word to us, this great invitation. Lord, we have seen you going out into the highways and byways, inviting and compelling people to come in. And Father, my prayer for each one of us in this room today is that we would thirst after you. We would thirst after you, that we would come to you, and that we would drink. Lord, for those of us who have trusted in you, believed, and been saved, Lord, I pray that that would now flow rivers of living water in and through us, that we would be the sweet aroma of Christ to a lost and dying world. Father, I pray that the Spirit would live vibrantly in and through your people, from this place as we go from the neighborhoods to the nations, that we would look like Christ. And Father, my prayer is for anybody here that's been confused by religion, confused by learning about Christ and peering into the window about Christ and maybe even attending church, but they've never come to Jesus and drank from that water and been saved. I pray that they would simply respond yes to your invitation, and that they would come to you and drink freely and be saved. So, Father, from this your word today, I pray that you would have your will and your way in the life of every person who has heard your word today. We pray all of this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, and amen.